ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया करोति उत्तमं श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः Okay, so we will continue chapter 16th. These are the prayers of Chitraketu Maharaj. 16 verses. And then the Lord will speak in response. Text 34 Chitraketur Uvacha Ajito Jitaha Samamati Bhi Sadhu Bhirbhavan Jitatma Bhirbhavata Jitaste Bichabhajatam Kamatmanam Yatma Doti Karunaha
Chitraketu said, O unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and senses. They can keep you under their control. Because you are causelessly merciful to the devotees who desire no material profit from you, indeed, you give yourself to them. And because of this, you also have full control over your devotees.
Okay, so Chitraketu Maharaj is describing that how Lord who is Ajita, unconquerable, he becomes Jita, he becomes conquered. Right? Anywhere else you read this verse? Anywhere the word, both the words come, Ajita and Jita, any other verse? There is one 10th canto verse, but you have not studied 10th canto. But verse is very famous, Jnane Prayasam Udupasya Namanta Eva Jivanti San Mukharatam Bhavadiya Varta. Jivanti San Mukharatam Bhavadiya Varta. And then the word describe that last line of the word describes ye prayesho ajit jitopyasi taistri lokyam. By hearing about Krishna, giving a speculative path, by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna, ye prayesho ajit jito, ajit becomes jita. The same word come together, the word ajita and jita, they come together. The Supreme Lord is conquered by the devotees who hear and chant about Him. Okay, so, but this verse describes another reciprocal dealing of the Lord, that the Lord is conquered by the devotees who are samamati bhi and who are jitatma bhi. Two things. Okay, so the Lord is conquered. Ajita becomes jita. One who is, Prabhupada explains, one who is samamati bhi. One who practice equanimity. Right? We were discussing the practice of equanimity is very important. How do we practice equanimity? By continuing our devotional service in the dualities. We discussed that we cannot stop experiencing, but then we can respond by continuing our service in the midst of both. So those who are samamati bhi, that means they continue their service to the Lord in duality, they are samamati bhi. And jitatma bhi means those who conquer their mind and senses. Right? So then the Lord is conquered by them. Right? And it's described, the Lord is conquered by them, and the devotees are also conquered by the Lord. Both ways. The Lord is conquered by the devotees, and the devotees are conquered by the Lord. Right? So Prabhupada writes, we see, the Lord and the devotees both conquer. The Lord is conquered by the devotees, and the devotees are conquered by the Lord. Because of being conquered by one another, they both derive transcendental bliss from their relationship. This mutual dependence, Prabhupada describes over here, the highest perfection of this mutual conquering is exhibited by Krishna and the gopis. Right? So in this way, there is a mutual dependence upon each other, the Lord and the devotee. They both conquer each other, and that is the source of great transcendental bliss. Right? So, the devotees conquer the Supreme Lord by paying the price of service. What kind of service? Service which Prabhupada explained in the Parabuddha, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted. And service rendered only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So by this kind of service, by paying this price, the devotee conquers the Supreme Lord. And Supreme Lord conquers the devotee by paying the price of what? The devotees conquer the Supreme Lord by paying the price of pure devotional service. Ahaitukiya pratihata devotional service. And the Supreme Lord conquers the devotee by paying the price of? By paying the price of? His subordination to them, okay, by paying the price of one word. The devotees conquer the Supreme Lord by paying the price of service. The Supreme Lord conquers the devotee by paying the price of blank, one word. Huh? Himself, okay, good answer. Any other? Huh? Sorry, devotion, okay. Reciprocation. Huh? So charanamrit, by paying the price of so charanamrit, okay, acceptable. By paying the price of prema, his beauty, okay. Okay. Well, it all valid answers, but I am looking for one word which has not come somehow. All are valid answers. All are valid answers. Okay, so the devotee conquers the Supreme Lord by paying the price of service. The Supreme Lord conquers the devotees by paying the price of mercy. Mercy is, so what kind of mercy? That he gives himself. He's so merciful. As I said, himself. So it's a very close answer. I mean, it's a perfect answer. But we are just putting in the term which is which comes in one verse also. You know, if you use a scriptural term, you know, then that's the perfect answer. You know, if you can find something from a bhajan or from a verse, the price, what the price devotees pay and what the price Supreme Lord pays. So each conquers each other by paying the price of, one pays the price of service, other pays the price of mercy. By his mercy, Supreme Lord conquers the devotees. Right? So there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shrivasa dekha he Prabhu kari mahapreet. The Lord told Shrivas Thakur and his four brothers, Tumi chari bhai rami hainu vikrit. Lord said, I am purchased by you four brothers by your loving devotional service. Right? Which he mentioned in the previous verses about their loving devotional service. Lord said, you have purchased me by your loving devotional service. But Shrivas Thakur says, Shrivasa kahena kene kaha vipareet. My Lord, why you talk in opposite way? Ab aisa ulti baat kyun karte hain? Lord says, you have all purchased me, you have conquered me. Shrivas says, my Lord, don't talk in the contradictory way. In fact, you have purchased us by your mercy, he says. Kripa mulyachari bhai hum hai to mar krit. Shrivasa kahena kene kaha viparit. Why you speak opposite? Kripa mulyachari bhai hai to mar krit. Kripa mulya, you by your mercy have purchased us four brothers. Vikrit means we have been purchased by you, we have been conquered by you, by kripa mulya. Right? The price, kripa mulya, the word price and kripa come together over here in this verse. Right? So therefore I said, by paying what price? Although it's not a business transaction, you know, it's a loving transaction, but still we are using this term, you know, because you purchase somebody by paying a suitable price. So that's the price. Right? Like that. Okay, so the Lord, if you see, vijitaste apicha bhajatam akamatmanam ya atmado ati karuna. Right? So those who desire nothing in your service, these devotees are conquered by you. But these devotees are those who desire nothing from you. Akamatmanam ya atmado ati karuna. You, again the word ati karuna, if you see, extremely merciful. So the mercy is the, by his mercy, Lord purchases his devotees by his mercy, by giving himself to them. The act of his mercy, you know, he shows the highest limit of his mercy by giving himself to the devotees. Another phrase which comes is Atma Paryant Vadanyata. Said, how merciful the Lord is, how charitable the Lord is in giving. Apne aap ko hi de dete. You know, it's a Atma Paryant Vadanyata. Unka Vadanyata, unka mercy, unka charity, kahan tak hai, uska limit, swayam ko de dete. Right? So that, like that. So therefore, those who desire nothing, the Lord give himself to them. You have to type. I just remember the phrase, you know. There is one verse, this phrase appears. This phrase just came to my mind. Exact, the whole verse is not coming. So you'll have to, but you'll be able to find in the folio. Right? So, namo kinchan vittaya. It is sometimes contradictory also, you know. He said, they don't want anything. The Lord gives himself. You know, they get the highest, don't want anything, then that means material. But in reciprocation, the Lord gives himself. Because Kunti Maharani also says, namo akinchan vittaya. Akinchan means one who has nothing. You are the great wealth of those who are totally poor. He said, this seems to be contradictory. You become the wealth of the poor. Akinchan means akinchit. Kinchit means something. A means nothing. Not even something. They don't have anything. But they have you. Right? So like that. So therefore this is a beautiful verse. Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, right, as we discussed, how the devotee purchases the Supreme Lord or he conquers the Supreme Lord. Pure devotees are sammati, which means they never deviate from devotional service under any circumstance. Sammati. Happiness and distress do not hamper the process of devotional service. Thus, a devotee who offers service in all conditions of life can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we just discussed. Sammati. So when the devotee serves the Supreme Lord in this state of mind, being sammati and jitatma bhi, Prabhupada says in the last paragraph, in the fifth or sixth last line, the Lord gives himself to his devotees as if they could use him for any purpose they might desire. Right? So when the devotees, they offer unconditional service, the Lord gives himself unconditionally. The Lord says that again and again. He tells Vasudev Dutta Thakur. Again and again he tells that I belong to you in the different verses, right? I belong to you. The Lord tells Vasudev Dutta Thakur. Apane Shri Gaur Chandra Bale Bar Bar Edeh Vasudev Dattera Amar. This body belongs to Vasudev Dutta Thakur. The Lord says this body belongs to him. No conditions apply, not that for his use only, you know, for this much time only in this consciousness. No, Lord says, Datta maya thaveche tathai vikai, said, if he wants to sell me anywhere, I am sold. Unconditionally I give myself. You know, quite amazing actually. You know, said, now I belong to him. He can sell me, use me, give me, do whatever with me. I am his. Unconditionally. Right? And the Lord says that there are no conditions apply. He himself says actually. It's quite quite beautiful. He says, Datta am yatha veche tathai vikai satya satya iha te anyatha kichu nai. It's a true. Anyatha kichu nai. There are no hidden clauses. There are no conditions apply. There are no asterisks. Lord says that, you know, knowing that Kali Yuga, every statement has many conditions apply. So the Lord says, Satya Satya Ihate, do not disbelieve when I say that I unconditionally belong to my devotee. Satya Satya Ihate, Anyatha Kichu Nai. There are no terms and conditions apply. It's quite, you know, beautiful. Right? Lord says that. So, the Lord also gives this to his devotees unconditionally, as Prabhupada says, as if they could use him for any purpose they might want. Right? But Prabhupada says, of course, the devotees have no other purpose other than to serve the Lord. Prabhupada just adds that, you know. Of course, the devotees have no other purpose. But the Lord gives himself unconditionally. From his side, he is sold. He becomes the property. Right? Therefore, it's a fact actually when the pure devotees, you know, when they say that, you know, like Prabhupada blessed many devotees. One of them was, I don't know whether I shared with you, was Surabhi Prabhu. Surabhi Prabhu, you know, what is his name? Surabhi Swami, later he became. Earlier his name was Saurabh. Saurabh Das Adhikari. Then when he took sannyas, because you know I was always confused. Many times when I read his name, it is sometimes some Prabhupada disciples call him by the name Saurabh. And other Prabhupada disciples call him by the name Surabhi. So Saurabh was his pre-sannyas name. Saurabh Das, you know, Brahmachari or... And then Prabhupada named him after sannyas Surabhi Abhipalayantam Swami. You know, I said Surabhi Swami is, but the short name was Surabhi. You know, always referred to as Surabhi Swami. You know, but it's actually Surabhi Abhipalayantam. It's the name of Krishna. You know, I said, why sannyasi is given the name Surbhi? You know, it's like the name of the cow. But then it was recently clarified by one devotee. In Vrindavan only, when the offerings were being given, when he departed from this world, he said he was actually Surbhi Abhipalayantam Swami. You know, the Lord Brahma used this term. So Prabhupada just promised him that, you know, because you have designed this temple, you do this temple very nicely and you will go back home, back to Godhead. You know, Prabhupada told him, you make Vrindavan and these two big projects, you know, Bombay and Vrindavan, were done by him personally, every detail. Worked very hard and Prabhupada promised him. So although he, 25 years he didn't come to India and was not in touch with devotees, almost not practicing Krishna consciousness. But just few days before he left his body, he got connected and he came to Vrindavan. He was just visiting Vrindavan and he left his body in Vrindavan, you know. So Krishna is very amazing, you know. The people may stay in 25 in Vrindavan, for 3 days go out and leave their body outside. There are people 25 years outside, never came to Vrindavan. They come for 3 days only to leave the body in Vrindavan. It happened, you know, so many times. So this is because Krishna is purchased by his devotees unconditionally. They can give him to anyone, to an undeserving person also. Yeah? In fact, so many Prabhupada disciples, on their own strength, they didn't deserve actually the blessing which they got. But Prabhupada gave Prabhupada just gave them that promise, you know, that you do this particular service and you will go back to Godhead. Or Prabhupada blessed many devotees like that, you know, and in this way the words are sure to come true, you know. So therefore the words of the, by their own words, the devotees actually can offer Krishna to, right? Because Krishna is unconditionally becomes the property, as we discussed, right? Krishna says, okay, so this is this beautiful reciprocation is being pointed out by Chitraketu Maharaj in this very first verse of the prayer.
तव विभव खलु भगवन् जगद उदय स्थिति लयादिनी विश्व सृजस्ते अंशांशास् तत्र मृषा स्वर्धन्ति पृथक् अभिमतया.
My dear Lord, this cosmic manifestation and its creation, maintenance and annihilation are all but your opulences, since Lord Brahma and the other creators are nothing but small portions of the portions of your. Their partial power of create does not make them God, Ishwar. Their consciousness of themselves as separate lords is therefore merely false prestige. It is not valid.
Okay, so now, having explained the mutual control that the Lord and the devotees have over each other, Chitraketu Maharaj explains in three verses the power of the Lord. Yeah. So whenever the Lord's Aishwarya or his powers are described, it's always in relation to this material cosmos, because that's what we can relate to, you know. So therefore he described that you alone are the creator, you know. Although there are many secondary creators in this world, like Lord Brahma, and there are many other what do you call that industry, as those who make all these bridges, towers, you know. Of course, there are many creators in this world, you know, those who create heavy infrastructures, you know, etc. So, but actually, every other creator gets the power to create from you only. That is the point being mentioned, simply. Right? only because they are your part, who is the supreme creator, does any other creator gets his creativity. You know, any other person who is like, so many people in this world, they create wonderful things. And there are many creators in this world. Lord Brahma has created this creation. Within this creation, there are so many other people. Right? Someone is a great architect, someone is a great landscapist. Someone may create a great painting, whatever, you know, so many creators. But all their creativity comes because they are part and parcel of you, the supreme creator. Chitraketu Maharaj is saying. Right? So Prabhupada gives the example of, he's saying, okay, the scientists have created airplanes, Prabhupada says. But where did they get the intelligence from? Create the airplanes. That didn't belong to them. That is given by the Lord. And where did they get the ingredients to create the airplanes? That is also provided by the Lord. Right? So in this way, and then again Prabhupada explains with the creation of the aeroplanes and I think automobiles also in this purpose. Automobiles also. He said people are creating so many airplanes, automobiles. But both the time Prabhupada says that intelligence comes from the Supreme Lord. The ingredients come from the Supreme Lord. So therefore any other person can create. But there is one important difference. Although the scientists are also secondary creator and they create by the power of the Supreme Lord, their creation is imperfect. Why? Because they do not know how to wind up the creation. It becomes they are not able to wind up the creation. Prabhupada says they create so much of junk, scrap, and they don't know what to do with it. So many automobiles, they scrap it. So many aeroplanes, later they scrap it. And they don't know what to do with it now. They create, but they don't know how to wind it up. Twice Prabhupada says in the purport, the remaining, if you see, second paragraph in the middle, Prabhupada says, before the airplane was created, its ingredients already existed, having been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when the manifested creation of the aeroplane is ruined, the remaining debris is a problem for the so-called creators. So they are, you know, they are imperfect creators. Right? And again, Prabhupada says, the later the creation again becomes a problem for them. Whatever they create, it becomes scrap later and it becomes a great problem for them. They can't, you know, but the Supreme Lord unwinds the whole thing. But they can't, you know, so they keep generating so much waste and create a lot of environmental issues or whatever. So therefore, their creation is imperfect in this way. Right? But they can't dissolve everything. Supreme Lord creates, maintains and dissolves. They can create and give a contract for maintenance to someone and no one can dissolve. You know, this is how, you know, it is. Paramanu parama mahatos tammadde antatar varti traya vidura adiyantantaravarti tvaya vidura Adavante apicha sattvanam yadruvam tad evantaralapi
praralapi. You exist in the beginning, middle and end of everything. From the most minute particle of the cosmic manifestation, the atom, to the gigantic universe in total material energy. Nonetheless, you are eternal, having no beginning, end or middle. You are perceived to exist in these three phases, and thus you are permanent. When the cosmic manifestation does not exist, you exist as the original potency.
Okay, so the Supreme Lord exists in the beginning, middle and end of everything. Right? But he doesn't have beginning, middle, and end. That is important. Although he exists in all the three phases of this material manifestation, but he is the same. He doesn't have a beginning, middle, or end. That is one important thing. That you are the steady. You are the unchanging factor among this changing material cosmos. Right? And this verse is saying, Paramanu Param Mahatos. You are the first cause, the most subtle Paramanu. You are the first cause and you are the final effect. You are the first subtle cause, Paramanu, and you are the final great effect, Mahatos, which is this whole cosmic manifestation. Right? And then, you are the unchanging cause of this changing material cosmos. Right? Or in other words, you are the permanent cause of the temporary objects. Putting in this way. All the manifestations are temporary, but they are caused by you. Right? So therefore, you are the permanent cause of all the temporary manifestations of this world. Or the temporary objects. Okay, so Prabhupada says, Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita verse, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha. Right? That how the Lord is Anadi. He doesn't have any beginning, no middle, no end. Right? But He is Adhyam, He is the beginning. He exists in the beginning of this creation, in the middle of the end, like that. Or he is the original personality. So then Prabhupada says in the 7th or 8th line of the purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no cause, for He is the cause of everything. Right? He is the cause of everything. The Lord is beyond the workings of cause and effect. What is this? Abhi to bolenge wo cause hai sabke. And Paramanu Mahato means He is the subtle cause and He is the great effect also. And He is the permanent cause of the all temporary objects. But He is beyond the cause and effect also. Right? So therefore, all this contradictory statement are resolved. Understanding He is beyond means His Sarupa exists. You know, always there is, you have to bring the Lord energy and the energetic. So therefore, everything is caused by this, all this cause and effect is by the Lord's energies. But in His Sarupa, in His personal Sachidananda Vigraha form, He is beyond that. Right? Nehru Prabhupada says in the second paragraph, everything is caused or manifested by the energy of the Supreme Lord. Right? So, and before the beginning or the middle or the end phase of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord existed before. And when it is unwinded, the Lord in His Sarupa continues to exist. So like that. So the Lord existed before and He will continue to exist. Like that. So, therefore, in this cosmic manifestation, the energies of the Lord are mainly at work. We see that. Right? Okay, we go to text 37. And this point comes in that Chatushloki Bhagatam also, right? Aham evasami vagre Chatushloki. Bhagatam, which is, so the understanding the Lord relation with this creation is actually very important. So we were discussing that day, you know, that Chatushloki Bhagatam, give the sambandha of this whole cosmic manifestation with the Lord, right? And there is another Chatushloki, but that is not, as you pointed out, technically it can't be called Chatushloki Bhagatam, but it's a Vitra Surshati Shloki. And Prabhupada says, it gives a sum and substance of devotional service. Prabhupada writes over there, because this very important prayers. So it gives sum and substance of devotional service, but it doesn't have this, directly this law's relation with the cosmic manifestation. So we don't call it Chatushloki Bhagatam, technically saying, right? So that was the right thing that he pointed out, actually. Yes. Yeah, I was also, you know, I didn't see, never, there are less syllables in the first line and the third line. Second and the fourth line has almost double the number of syllables, kind of. So, so therefore in prose form only kind of we recite, you know. You can't recite in a particular meter. Most of these prayers, if you see the text 37. The text 37, the first line has, you know, lesser syllables. The second line has 1.5 to 2 times the number of syllables. You know, just by the length of the shloka also you can see that. Right? So the different number of syllables in each line. So that's how the verse is composed, you know. So therefore I just recited kind of a prose. That's how the verses are formed. I didn't see any other verses composition like this, you know. The syllable different from line to line. Probably sometime in all four lines different syllables may be there. That's how it is. Okay. Text 37. Shityadibhiresh kilavrita Saptabhir dashgunottarair andakoshah Yatra patatti anukalpa Sand koti koti bhistadan tadananta.
Every universe is covered by 7 layers. Earth, water, fire, air, sky, and total energy and false ego. Each 10 times greater than the previous one. There are innumerable universes beside this one. And although they are unlimitedly large, they move about like atoms in you. Therefore, you are called unlimited, Ananta.
Okay, so the last verse described the Lord as existing in all the phases of time, right? The beginning, middle and end. But He is beyond the time also. Similarly, this verse now described that He exists in all the space, right? But He is not limited by the space. He is beyond the space. Once we had conducted one seminar in IIT, Beyond Time and Space, kind of, you know, just to give some scientific title. So, therefore, the Lord is unlimited. So, so this whole universe, which is very vast actually, which has been described that covered by the 7 layers, right? Of earth, water, fire, air, sky, the total energy and the false ego, each layer 10 times greater than the previous one, right? And there are such innumerable universes, and they all exist within you, right? They all moves about in you. Therefore, you are unlimited. So we go to text 38. Yes. Sorry? Mahatattva, I guess. The total material energy, the aggregate total material energy. Okay, 38. Vishaya Trisho Narapashavo.
Ya upasate vibhutirna param tvam. Tesham ashisha isha. Tad anu vinashyanti yatharaj kulam.
O Lord, O Supreme, unintelligent people, person who first for sense enjoyment and who worship various demigods are no better than animals in the human form of life. Because of their animalistic propensities, they fail to worship your lordship, and instead they worship the insignificant demigods who are but all small sparks of your glory. With the destruction of the entire universe, including the demigods, the benedictions received from the demigods also vanish, just like the nobility when a king is no longer in power.
Okay, so so after glorifying the Lord in three verses, we said he glorifies the Lord in the three verses, describing his powers with respect to material creation. Now he wants to glorify the devotees of the Lord, Chitraketu Maharaj. Right? But before he glorifies the devotees of the Lord, he criticized the non-devotees. Here in Chitraketu Maharaj is saying, those who are thirsty for sense enjoyment, and thus to fulfill the thirst, they approach the demigods that do not worship you. They are like animals. Right? And saying their intelligence is very small, right? Because the benediction they receive, along with the benedictors, they all are actually destroyed in due course of time. So, again, Prabhupada says in the fourth line of the purport, we may show our respect to the demigods, but the demigods are not worshipable. The intelligence of those who worship the demigod is lost. Hritagyana. But if someone worships the demigod without material motives, then what is the problem? Then, oh, without material worship, I'll worship the demigods. Okay, but I want to worship the demigod without any expectation. They may not reciprocate, but I want to worship them. I don't want any reciprocation. Out of love, I want to worship the demigods, someone says. Okay, you see, if someone worships the demigods without any expectation, he will forward. There are a few stories like that. Yes, the demigods. But is that worship acceptable by Vaishnava? That is my question, first of all. Some demigods may direct him to Krishna, some may not also, you know. अपना आदमी अपने बात भी रख लेता है कहीं कभी आदमी ऐसा वर्षिपर और कहां मिलेगा यू नो ये समझ इज नॉट हंग्री The person will Generally, he will not, you're saying. Yeah, most of the demigod worshippers, they go for, it's a right point, they go to obtain all the benedictions, you know. They want the benediction, that's why they approach. But if someone says now we are discussing for the argument's sake, for the logic's sake, he said, okay, you condemn demigod worship because people go for material benediction. But I will worship the demigods just to, because they are my worshipable. I will not ask anything. So why should you then object? You have any objection? Then should we object to him? Or say as Vaishnava, someone says, okay, no, you also join me, you know. Like sometimes we say, you chant Om Namo Shivaya, you know, then chalo ek mala Hare Krishna ka karo. Oh, bola, theek hai bhai. अभी तुम 16 माला करते हैं, एक माला जरा मेरे साथ भी करो डेमिगॉड वर्शिप का, यू नो, विदाउट मटेरियल मोटिव्स. सो इफ समवन वांट्स टू वर्शिप देम विदाउट मटेरियल मोटिव्स, इज देयर एनी प्रॉब्लम इन दैट? फ्रॉम सिद्धांत पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, फ्रॉम वैष्णव सिद्धांत पॉइंट ऑफ व्यू, ओके, ओके, if we are talking of in general demigod worship, Lord Shiva, first we are talking of in general demigod worship. I will not continue discussion longer, but I want to make a point. Even if someone says that I will worship the demigod without any expectation, right? Then the point is, actually they are still, your worship is avidhi purvakam. It's like bribing. Or it's like avidhi purvakam because they are not the true worthy objects of being worshipped. Supreme Lord is the only worthy object of being worshipped. That is point. That still is avidhi purvakam. You know, it's not the right way to worship. So the worship is actually meant for the Supreme Lord alone. No? So it is actually a defiance of one's relation to the of one's is a defiance of a living entity to the Supreme Lord if he worships the demigods. Defiance means he is drohi. Because the worship is meant for the Supreme Lord alone. Something you know, if there is a deserving candidate, but you don't give him that what he deserves, then give to some his subordinate, you know. It's a defiance actually. Defiance means droho. It's not proper. So the worship truly is meant for the Supreme Lord only. Right? So, therefore, even if someone says, I want to worship the demigods, you know, from now we are talking of Vaishnav Siddhant point of view. Now, if someone says, I want to worship demigods purely, okay, we may not, Krishna says, don't, because they have so much faith in that, due to whatever reason, they may have whether gross or subtle expectation or whatever, you know. We don't disturb them, we don't disturb their faith. Because they are his representative. Ultimately, the worship goes to Supreme Lord. All this avadhi purvakam. But the Lord advises us not to disturb them. I said, okay, fine, you know. Without desire, we want to worship. You worship. You may not, but as Vaishnavas, suppose you should not be convinced. That's my point. Now I'm saying Vaishnava perspective. Vaishnava should know that worship is meant for Vishnu only. Worship is not meant for demigods. Prabhupada is saying clearly, we may show our respect to demigod, but the demigods are not worshipable. They are not worshipable. Okay, see, there are many arguments which may come. You know, no, I will just do without. No, but still they are not, if you have to understand the Siddhant. Sorry, they are not worshipable. So therefore, your worship of them, even without material motive, is actually avidhi purvakam. It's in defiance. It defies the Supreme Lord, who is the true object of worship. Okay, so that is one thing. Now, if someone says, look, this is a very strong argument. Someone says, look, I will worship the demigods to obtain some material benefit so that I can serve the Supreme Lord with that. No, I'm just worshipping him, I'm going to him to obtain something so that I can serve Krishna nicely. It's like, you know, the one person, he recommended some devotee. He said, look, you're having this problem. Why don't you worship this demigod? He said, no, demigod worship not allowed. He said, look, Krishna has created a system. You know, Krishna has created a system. If this is your problem, you can go to him and it will resolve. You continue your worship of Krishna. But just worship this demigod, resolve your problem. You know, you have a marital problem. You go to this demigod, worship him in this way, resolve it and continue your worship of Krishna. What is the difficulty in that? Krishna's created a system. And then the person gave the example. He said, look, you go to Prime Minister and say, hey, wait, this. And Prime Minister said, look, you know, go to the you know, this minister, you know. You have this problem, go to the agriculture minister. You know, you have some land issue, this, that, want to convert the land for make non-agriculture land into the construction land for building a temple. We go to Prime Minister. Prime Minister said, okay. Go to Agriculture Minister. He will resolve you all. He will send you. He said, it's system made, you know. So there is some problem. There is a system made by Krishna. This demigod in charge of this. And you have this problem. Go to him. And he will resolve. And you continue to worship Krishna. What is the harm in that? It's Krishna's system. जिसको जो जो पोर्टफोलियो दिया है उसके पास जाकर के अपना काम सुलझाओ और भगवान का भजन करते रहो उसमें कुछ तकलीफ है बट सम पीपल से लुक व्हाई ट्रबल प्राइम मिनिस्टर ऑलवेज यू नो ये सब छोटे मोटे काम के लिए सब मिनिस्टर लोग ही कर देंगे ना भगवान को क्यों तकलीफ देने का है Okay, another dimension now. So, Gopi's worship of Krishna, Katyayani. Yes. So, first of all, okay, with reference to that. So, you say that, okay, so now someone tells us that, okay, fine, you know, you want this problem to be resolved. You have a marital problem. You go to this demigod, worship him. Your marital relation will improve and you continue to worship Krishna. Is that acceptable? Yeah. Motivation is not the same. They are already on the stage of prema, and as a social matter of fact, they worship the village demigoddess and ask Krishna only. You know, that's like, that was a social custom to worship. They are on the stage of prema. In the stage of prema, they worship the Katyayani to ask for Krishna only. To ask for Krishna only. So, that is different. Right? Now, we are involved in some material problems. We want some material solution. You know? That's what I'm saying. He said, hey, look, this is... as I said, there could be many issues, you know, that you are your grahas are not good. You are having many problems. So you go to this, if you just worship, offer this puja to demigod, your number of problems, you know, will be resolved and then you can serve Krishna better. Is there any harm in that? That's what I'm asking. Is it acceptable? Is there any harm in that?
It is not acceptable because the first principle is that
Okay. That is good answer. Yes, Shukadeva Goswami says, Kama Sarva Kamova. Whatever desire you have, Sarva Kam, you approach Krishna. Yes, sir. Sorry, the example you gave?
Good person is going, or in a higher in a rank somewhere, in a government official or somewhere. So rules are adjusted for him. Similarly, the devotee approaches the Lord, then it is like a prime minister can't go there. So it is like devotee approaches the Lord, he can be adjusted. Demigods itself will serve, need not without worshipping. So second thing is like, section 1 thing comes that if the person is not qualified for a demigod worship specially, he says that you don't praise me for the qualities which have not exhibited or may not exhibit in the future. So worshipping life for God is respecting here. So it is worshipping life considering the supreme. That's why you are inclined to worship. Although you have a desire or not, that is second thing. But worshipping itself is blaspheming the Lord in one sense and the person you are worshipping. So this worshipper will not be appreciated by the person or demigod, whom he is worshipping.
Okay, but there is, got it, but there is one argument given. Someone says, look, hey, you have a disease. Where do you go? You go to doctor, right? Now you have a sarva kama, means you have a kama of getting good health. Where do you go? Go to doctor and get some medicine and become healthy, right? Because that's the system. So if there is similarly, there is a relationship problem. Why not worship this demigod and get the problem resolved and continue worshipping Krishna? Okay, wait, wait, wait. Yes. Yes, that is a good answer. No, so first of all, he's saying you should not go to the demigods, right? Even there is a relationship problem has happened or some severe grahas are distorted, then one should not go to demigods, he's saying, because it is against the principle of ananya bhakti. Wait, we'll hear him. He's saying one should not go to demigods. But as we discussed, so now the point I'm making, first of all, argument is, you go to demigod, get your problem resolved, just like you go to demigod, take a medicine, doctor, take a medicine, get your disease resolved, and you continue worship of Krishna. Is that against the principle of pure devotional service or ananya bhakti? Now you want to say something? You were saying something. Say. No. See, the application part, that some people depend upon level of faith, they may take a various path. You know, some people may go accept some favors from demigods, continue serving Krishna. Because whatever the level of faith, we are not talking of application part, we are only talking of Siddhant part. Siddhant part is going to demigod, accepting some favors, which we feel are will be useful to serve Krishna better, taking some favor from them, and continue serving Krishna. Is it acceptable on the platform? Is it acceptable in pure devotional service? Is it okay? Is it go against any principle, or it is acceptable? That is the point. It is acceptable. Except, yes, what example? Yes. Okay, no, you just express your opinion, you don't have to argue. Yes. wait, yes, say. 1, 2, 3, last three now. Sorry. Okay, so I will I'll just now try to express my understanding, and then you can maybe verify with some other sources. You know, we can take inputs from Radhesham Prabhu also. Maybe some of you can just discuss with him also. As per my understanding, the principle of demigod worship goes against the Ananya Bhakti. The great souls worshipping demigod is another expression of their love. They ask, they ask for Krishna from anywhere and everyone. You know, even the trees, and you know, they may ask, you know, please show us where is Krishna. You know, so that's another. They have achieved prema, and that also becomes the expression of their prema. Please give us Krishna, you know, show me where is Krishna. Tell me, O tree, you know, where has the Lord gone? Oh, you know, oh, the bird, they're asking, bird, show us where is Krishna, you know. So like that, you know, that's another expression of their love. Okay? But you feel that, you know, you're rendering pure devotional service. If you're aspiring for pure devotional service, you may not be rendering to Krishna, then we leave up to Krishna. Now, if I'm having some problem, maybe it is Krishna sent. If Krishna wishes, he can resolve it also. After all, he is the master of all grahas and everyone. So it actually goes, it goes against the principle of exclusive devotional service. Now there is a CEO of a company, and he has a purchase manager. But if the wife wants something, should she approach purchase manager or the CEO? If she approaches the purchase manager, who is the system set up by the CEO of the company, but the CEO is her husband. Her approaching purchase manager for asking him, ke mere liye purchase karke de do, since you have been appointed by my husband only, it goes against the principle of that love, that exclusive love for the Supreme Lord that we want to direct towards him. You know? You're getting the point? So it goes against that principle, right? So, those who are following Varnashrama, aiming towards Lord Vishnu on that path, you know, they may sometimes do that. It may not be that hampering to them. They may sometimes do that. But those who aspire to only exclusively, you know, Bhavantam eva anuchara nirantara, prashantan hishesh manorathantara, kadaham ekantika nitya kinkara, not just that I will become your servant or your... when I will become your exclusive servant, next exclusive only for you, my worship is meant only for you. So Gauriya Vaishnava Siddhant is to render exclusive ekantiki hare bhakti. Ekantiki bhakti. It goes against that principle. Because in the life of the devotees, many situations are sent by Krishna to make him more dependent upon him. And you may think by your own material intelligence that this is not good for me. I can serve better Krishna the other way. I'll take help of this demigod, that demigod. You know. So they are his appointed managers. They are also in this world considered, many of them consider themselves as separate controllers. You know. So therefore it, as per my understanding, it is not the same as, you know, it's not the same as approaching a doctor for a medicine. Approaching a demigod. It's just, you know, a way of justifying it. Like, again, the same example take, you know, there is a CEO, there is a manager. But the wife goes to a chemist to take a medicine. But the wife asks the manager to get her a sari, you know, instead of the husband. It goes against. But she goes and purchases something from a chemist shop. That doesn't go against that principle. It's not the same as. Because he is also the one of the Ishas, demigod. They are appointed Ishas. They are the control. They are not independent, but many of them consider themselves to be independent. They are also Ishas of this world. So one cannot have many masters. When we go to a Vaidya, we are not accepting whatever as one of the master actually. But going to a Isha, the different master, goes against the principle of accepting multiple master. The chastity is violated over there. The chastity. In devotional service, this principle is also, you know, the chastity of the devotee. That is ekantiki, exclusive. That we have only one master. We'll go to him for everything. If he wishes, he may give. If not, he may not. But we'll worship only one master. But they are all competitor masters. We cannot accept two masters. So going to doctor is not the same as going to demigods. Going to demigod is accepting another master, another Isha. It violates. But those, sorry? But a family has a social convention. You understand? There is during the Vivaha Yagya, a devotee may get married, and some in the Yagya and some Ahutis may be offered to demigod this and that as a part of social convention. A part of, you know, there are some social conventions, and then one can follow certain social conventions, but that also becomes the expression of his love. That's a different, they are already on the stages of prema. That's a different case actually. And now we also talked about a different case. We didn't talk, they went and asked exclusively for Krishna, the gopis and the Rukmini. Right? Exclusively for Krishna. But we think that my good health will help me to serve Krishna better. But it may not be. We are looking for something, a facility to serve Krishna better. And facility I want for myself or Krishna, that is also a question. How much I want for myself because I am frustrated, and how much I want for Krishna? You understand? They want Krishna only. And that is like they are in the social setup where that goddess is worshipped. You know? So as a matter of fact, you know, there is a devotee may obey some social conventions, right? But not against, you know, a devotee may accept certain varnashram dharmas which are not against pure devotional service. That's okay. That's another dimension now. There are certain varnashram dharmas, certain yajnas which are performed. A devotee may also offer some oblations, for the forefathers as a part of social convention and perform other samskara, this and that. There may be some demigod worship involved, etc. But keeping his faith on Krishna. So certain conventions, so therefore if you see our acharyas have given, there are smart vidhis in which the demigod worship is prominent, but our acharyas have given a vidhi of doing all the various social necessities where there is some worship of the demigod or some pujas, some yajnas to be performed for householders. So, as per varnashram dharma, you know. So all the Vaishnavacharyas have given a vidhi in which the Supreme Lord has given prominence. You know. So once Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his disciple, he went and performed the Shraddha rites for his parents in a smart vidhi, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said he has actually fallen from pure devotional service. He should have performed this rite from Vaishnava vidhi. So there is a Vaishnava way of doing all the various rites also, right? Which does not contradict, and on a social platform one can do that. But going and approaching a demigod for having better health, for having a better relationship, for having certain things, better situation in life, it goes against the principle of exclusive bhakti, ekantiki bhakti. It is accepting another master nonsense. Because we are going for some material facilities only we are talking of. I specifically said, you know, and if you want Krishna, still there is no need to approach them, but if you, suppose you go to some place, you show respect, you can still, you know, make a prayer. Please help me to become a better servant of Krishna. That is not against pure devotional service. But you're not worshipping them. You are asking a blessing. By offering respect, ask a blessing. You don't have to perform elaborate puja asking Krishna from them. And performing exclusive yajna and all that. So now I'm asking Krishna. You know, better ask from Krishna. He will give himself. But then they follow that social convention out of their prema and ask for Krishna. Right? So it's actually different. It's actually different. So because there are many opinions that which are coming forth that demigod worship is acceptable. Again, I said for those who follow varnashram system primarily, they may sometime accept a demigod worship and this and then continue to worship in Krishna, etc. That's gradual elevation varnashrama. But as far as if we aspire to be pure devotees of the Lord and follow in the footsteps of devotees like Chitraketu Maharaj and other pure devotees who exclusively worship the Supreme Lord, it's not in line with that. It's not acceptable. From this viewpoint, from whatever acharyas have described, exclusive bhakti, it's not acceptable from that point of view.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying actually. Then now there's the application part. Some people, they're so much disturbed about certain things, you know, this and that, and some devotees may suggest. But that is not acceptable, I'm saying. Even if you accept something, it doesn't mean it becomes acceptable as Siddhant. One can sometimes not follow the... We do that so many times, you know. There is a higher principle, but we sometimes are unable to follow the highest principle, so we make a compromise. But a compromise is not the standard. That is my only point. When we compromise from the standard, we don't make that as a standard. That's what. So as a treatment, they become dysfunctional, haunted by ghost. Right, so as I'm saying, application is very case to case. Application is case to case. In this case, probably the application is justified. You know, as I said, they became haunted and then they themselves are dysfunctional. So, but we are talking of the case where we approach being troubled by our relationship or our health or some other facilities which is affecting our devotional service. Again, I'm not saying that you cannot do that. But as per one is unable to perform, you know, said, I can't go ahead with this like this. Then even the senior devotees may direct you, chalo ye karo yaar, iska ek yagya karke niptao isko. And then you continue your worship of Krishna. Right? You got the point? Astrologer is a material... That's a different thing. Yeah. See, that's what the application part is actually requires everything case to case. It's all desh kal patra. Who is the person whom you are talking of? You know? Like one astrologer came. They're giving one example, and he said, I would like to see all the devotees' hand. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada, can I see your hand? Prabhupada said, I am done with all this. You can see my disciples' hands. Prabhupada said, I am done with all this now. I don't need the astrologer now. Prabhupada said, I am done with all this, you know. Finished. You know, you can see my disciples' hand, you know. Yeah, he used it as a tool also to some end. But then he went against astrological prediction also, showing his more faith on Krishna. Astrological prediction predicted he may not go. Prabhupada used it as a tool, but then threw it away also. Right? He didn't follow the advice. He followed mainly, he showed his faith on Krishna more. Right? So, like that. Right? So, principally, it goes against, principally. Right? But case to case, application, it all depends upon the time, place, circumstance, you know, how the situation goes, like that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He describes that Arjuna and Bhishma both had conflicting views on this situation. Because when you have to invoke asuras, then you often have to chant prayers to demigods and beseech them for their So Arjuna used these asuras to destroy the enemy army. But it is said that Bhima was more accomplished than Arjuna actually. But he refused to display that mind, except on a few situations.
Okay, I mean, the detailed study will have to be, you know, as I said, each thing, so what is the point exactly?
Both of them are exclusive devotees.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, both display different moods. One approaches them in terms of invoking them.
Okay, so yeah, so sometime exclusive devotee may do that, but with what mindset has to be seen. But in general, for in general principle, we have to see. One is general principle, then how we accept, how we understand some exception also we have to understand. Right? But if you see the any bhajan of Narottam Das Thakur, he points out very clearly that don't worship the demigods. Don't worship the demigods. He points out in many bhajans, if you see Narottam Das Thakur, he discourages a sadhaka to worship the demigods. See, Prabhupada also purport, you see the general principle, general thread among the acharyas is actually to dissuade a person from worshipping demigods and cultivate more dependence upon the Lord, more exclusively depend upon the Lord. Right? So now in certain situation, etc., etc., one has to see, you know, that even exclusive devotees, sometime they chanted mantra demigod, what is the explanation of that? That should be separately studied. Some exceptional studies are separate. But from that exceptional case, we cannot generalize or say this principle doesn't hold true. General principle is the acharyas, they say this demigod worship is, demigods are not worshipable, and person worshipping the demigod actually goes against, in general, the principle of Ekantaki Harir Bhakti. That's the general principle hold true, which you can see. Read Narottam Das Thakur bhajans. Find so many. Again and again he brings this point, because Bengal was full with demigod worshippers. Again and again he brings this point. Right? That you worship the Lord. Na bhajiya. He doesn't say only under this condition or that. He just simply keeps saying, don't worship the demigods. He goes against that principle. Okay, so go to text 39. Kamadhyas toi rachita na param rohanti yatha karam bhijani gyanatmanya gunamaye gunaganatosya dvanda jalani.
O Supreme Lord, if persons obsessed with material desires for the sense gratification through material opulences worship you, who are the source of all knowledge and are the transcendental to material qualities, they are not subject to material rebirth, just as sterilized or fried seeds do not produce plants. Living entities are subjected to the repetition of birth and death because they are conditioned to material nature. But since you are transcendental, one who is inclined to associate with you in transcendence escapes the conditions of material nature.
So, now this verse is glorifying the devotees of the Lord. O Supreme Lord, if person obsessed with material desire for sense gratification, he has many material desires for sense gratification, he wants a lot of material opulence, he worships you, right? Such a living entity is not subjected to repetition of birth and death. How is this verse glorifying the devotees of the Lord? The last verse criticizes the non-devotees. Those who worship the demigods, they are like animals. He said that they only are concerned with the sense gratification. Right? So, but this verse says those with all material desire, if they come to you, they will not be subject to the repetition of birth and death. They are like fried seeds who will not sprout again. How is this verse glorifying the devotees of the Lord? This verse is actually glorifying the devotees of the Lord by kaimutik nyay. Kim uta means how much more. Said if even people with material desires approach you, they do not go samsara again. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami has said that one should akama sarva kamo bhav. Right? If one has all the desires, etc., etc., right? Then only one should approach the Supreme Lord. Akama sarva kamo bhav. Right? Moksha kamo dhari. This verse also, so therefore, they're saying kama dhiyas. Those who want kama, sense gratification, let them worship Krishna. Even they will not undergo material existence, samsara, repetitive birth and death. Kim uta, what to speak of devotees who do not worship you for material desires. Therefore, this verse indirectly glorifies the devotees of the Lord who worship the Lord without material desires. By kamutik nyaya. Kamutik means kim uta. How much more glorious are devotees who worship the Lord without kama. Even the worship of kama, they don't undergo samsara. Right? Yes, going to the Lord is anyway glorious. You know, I said you approach the Supreme Lord only. Going to the Lord is glorious. But this verse also glorifies the devotees of the Lord. Those who worship the Lord, pure devotees. If these people don't undergo samsara, how much more? You know, so indirectly the glorification of devotees is also happening in this verse. Right? Like that. Text 40. Jitam ajit tada bhavata yadaha bhagavatam dharma manvadyam nishkinchana ye munaya atma ramayam upasate apavargaya apavargaya.
O unconquerable one, when you spoke about Bhagavad Dharma, which is the uncontaminated religious system for achieving the shelter of your lotus feet, that was your victory. Persons who have no material desires like the Kumaras, who are self-satisfied sages, worship you to be liberated from material contamination. In other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve the shelter at your lotus feet.
Okay, so this verse glorifies the dharma of the pure devotees of the Lord. Right? So he's saying that, O Lord, when you spoke about the Bhagavad Dharma, which is uncontaminated religious system, that was your victory. So this is again very, very how speaking Bhagavad Dharma by the Lord was his victory. Is that the Lord conquered the devotees by speaking Bhagavad Dharma. Yeah, actually, because the devotees were able to conquer the Lord by practicing Bhagavad Dharma. And they become so obliged to the Lord that, Lord, you by your mercy, the Lord gave this Bhagavad Dharma. By practicing that Bhagavad Dharma, the devotees conquered of the Lord. And by giving this Bhagavad Dharma, the Lord conquered of the devotees. Again, that reciprocal thing is coming over here. You know? Okay, so when the Lord spoke the Bhagavad Dharma, the devotee practices, and by practicing it they conquered the Lord. But they became so obliged because the Lord only gave the process, you know, how to conquer him. The Lord gave the process. The devotee became so obliged that they become conquered by the Lord. So that was Lord victory. Right? That was Lord's victory. So Vishnu Thakur says, O unconquered Lord, when you spoke about Nishkam Dharma of the devotees, Bhagavad Dharma, the devotees became indebted to you. You were conquered by the devotees through Nishkam Bhakti, but that Bhakti was explained by you. That is your good quality. Thus the devotees are eternally indebted to you. They became conquered by you because you gave the process. like that. So Prabhupada also brings, Prabhupada, he says that in this purport, very beautifully Prabhupada points out that Bhagavad Dharma is after the verse Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam, this is fifth line. Fifth or sixth, seventh line. Bhagavad Dharma is the process of religion enunciated by pure devotees, direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Narad Muni, Shukdev Goswami, and their humble servants in the disciplic succession. When they are instructed by the Lord Himself about Bhagavad Dharma and they adopt it, that is the victory for the Lord, for He then reclaims this fallen soul. Prabhupada said, taking to Krishna consciousness and bringing fallen souls to Krishna consciousness is victory for Lord Krishna. Right? Is victory for Lord Krishna. That principle is being given in this verse. 41. Vishammatirna yatrinam tamahammiti mam taveti cha yad anyatra Visham dhyara chitoya sahi avishuddha shaishnur adharma bahula.
Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conception of fruitive results and distinction of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of animals or the gain of the mystic power, but such religious system, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion.
Okay, so after glorifying the dharma of the pure devotees, this verse condemns all other dharma known as kamya dharma. Dharma in which there is a desire for sense gratification, that is kamya dharma. There is a in the dharma or the lower dharma other than the Bhagavad dharmas, right? There are many dharmas, but there is a conception of tvam aham mam taveti, I, you, your mind. So it's polluted by that. Visham dhiya, there is a separate mentality over there. Okay. So Prabhupada says in the first paragraph, and in Bhagavad Dharma there is no question of what you believe and what I believe. Everyone must believe in the Supreme Lord and carry out His orders. So, again Prabhupada in second paragraph, if one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. So Prabhupada saying in all these religions there is conflict. History shows that the follower of religious system without a clear conception of God have fought with one another. Okay? So in this lower dharma, there is a conception of I, mine, yours, mine, etc. Right? You, I, mine, yours, etc. And these dharmas, it said there are three characteristics that are given in the last line. These dharmas are impure. Because why they are impure? Because there are material motivations. Right? These dharmas are impure because there are dualities, there is attraction, there is a hatred, I, mine, you know, this is my person, your person. So there is a rag and dvesh. So there was this lower dharmas are impure because of that. And they give only temporary results. Therefore they are perishable. These dharmas are temporary dharmas, they are not eternal dharmas. All the lower dharmas, which Prabhupada just says, you know, Hindu dharma, Christian dharma, Muslim dharma, all these dharmas are actually temporary dharmas. Bhagavad dharma is eternal. The results are temporary, the results also perish. Okay, and then the third, see, avishuddha, last line, I'm talking about the last line. These dharmas are avishuddha, impure, because there are dualities involved, rag, dvesh, aham, mameti, etc. Then there are shayishnur, they are temporary or perishable. Then this is dharma, he's saying this is not actually dharma, this is only a dharma. In this so-called dharma, there is adharma bahula, which means there is a lot of violence. Right? We see that so many dharmas which teach violence to other living entities. He said, in this dharma there is adharma bahula, a lot of adharma, so much violence. So they are very impure. Right? Therefore, this verse describes the impurity, the temporariness, and the unreligious or the violence of all the lower dharmas. Other than the, but however, Bhagavad Dharma is completely pure, it is eternal, and it is the true dharma. There is no violence over there. Therefore, Prabhupada calls this Bhagavad Dharma as this Bhagavad Dharma is Sarva Utkrisht, the last paragraph beginning, the best of all religious systems. Because those who follow Bhagavad Dharma are not envious of anyone. Right? Envy is actually a violence to others. Violence to oneself and violence to others. Envy. Right? So therefore, Adharma Bahula. Bhagavad Dharma has no such impurities. Okay, so you can take a break and we will continue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so we will continue. Text 42. We are very behind. You have to complete this chapter today. Kashemo Nijapariyo. Kyan Vartha Sopara Dura Dharmena Sadruha Tavakopa Param Sampidaya Chatathad Dharma.
How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gain by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy and by causing pain to others? One arouses your anger and practices irreligion.
So basically saying that actually any other religious system which is impure, which is temporary and which is full of violence in the form of envy, What is the use of following that? Right? What benefit that religious principle can give for oneself and for others? You know, it's totally a harm only, that religious principle. Right? Many times we see in this world, you know, people follow certain religious principle and only for they harm themselves and others, right? The lower religious principle described in the last verse are further being elaborated. So droha tav kopa par sampideya chatatha dharma. He said this lower religious principle, which is characterized by envy of oneself, what does it lead to? It leads to anger and sin. Just arises anger and it leads to sin. That's all. And there's no youth actually. And Prabhupada talks of the killing animal. There are dharmas which prescribe animal sacrifice, killing them. So those Prabhupada says actually not meant for, they are inauspicious dharmas which recommend animal killing. Yeah. So Kashema Nijapariyo Kyanva Arthaswa Para Duraha. Yeah, so actually self envy, when one is envious of other living entity, one is not understanding, one harm one own self-interest. So he is self-envious or killer of the self, envious of the self. Has the same meaning. It means the here self refers to the spirit self. By manifesting envy, actually, one is not benefiting one's own self also. Envious of others is also being envious of one's own self-interest. Both are being harmed. Right. 43. Right. So these lower dharmas are practiced by very less intelligent people. For the devotees who are sumedha, intelligent people practice dharma of sankirtan or bhagavad dharma. Right. Prabhupada quotes the verse. In the Parapad, Yajna Sankirtana Praya Rijanti Hi Sumedasa. Okay. Intelligent people should not accept any lower religious principles, which may even be mentioned in the Vedas. Right? But they are lower religious principles. One should follow the higher religious principle or the highest.
Navabacharati Taveksha Yayahi Abhihito Bhagavato Dharma Thircharasattva Kadambeshva Apritagdhiyo Yamupasate Toharaya.
My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Okay, so Vishnu Thakur says, people follow Kamya Dharma even though it is temporary and full of faults because they see immediate results. They have doubt to follow Nishkam Dharma though it is faultless because they do not see immediate results. Right? So in this world, you know, to people want everything very quick, very fast. They want to see perceivable results they want to do. Right? Therefore, they follow the most of the people, they follow dharma which is motivated by sense gratification. Is it not? You know, that's what people, demigod worship and worship of so many other forms. They see immediate results. They can perceive, you know, the immediate results. Therefore, they follow that and they have doubt about Nishkam Dharma because they don't see immediate results. Although there are no faults, or it is very higher, right? So because that means what? Because of their short-sightedness, they can't see the tangible results which come in due course of time, you know, and the perishability of the temporary results. So because of their short-sightedness, basically people do not follow Bhagavad Dharma. Right? However, I think, but you nya vyabhacharati tav iksha ya hi abhivito bhagato dharma. However, your prescription that one should follow bhava dharma, it doesn't waver. Your recommendation that the jiva should follow bhaga dharma, it doesn't waver. You know? Okay, so therefore, finally he's saying, therefore the cultured people should follow only Bhagavad Dharma. Right? The cultured people should follow only Bhagavad Dharma. So the Aryans should follow Bhagavad Dharma. So Prabhupada says, you see the line, fourth or fifth line of the purport. Aryans who are advanced in civilization follow Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad Maharaj preached Bhagavad Dharma among his classmates. Prabhupada once gave in 1969 the discourse, Bhagavad Dharma discourses. Mainly from this Bhagavad Dharma has been discussed elaborately in 11th canto. Dharmam Bhagavatam Bhruta, when one of the Nimi Maharaj asked one of the Navyogendra, please speak about Bhagavad Dharma. So there are very beautiful verses upon Bhagavad Dharma. So based upon that and other like Kumaram Acharit Pragyu Dharman Bhagavatamiha. So in the, primarily based on that and other devotees who practice Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada gave a series of lectures on Bhagavad Dharma discourses, you know, in New Vrindavan. Like that. So the civilized people follow Bhagavad Dharma. That point is being made. Prabhupada says, toward the end of the third paragraph, first of all, he says, the beginning of the third paragraph, Bhagavad Dharma means living according to the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, Bhagavad Dharma means the Varnashram Dharma of the four social and four spiritual division. Actually, Bhagavad Dharma is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma. But here, Prabhupada, he says Bhagavad Dharma means Varnashram Dharma of four social. How is that? Actually, Bhagavad Dharma is transcendental to Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma, there are many material considerations. Okay, so basically, Bhagavad Dharma includes Varnashram Dharma. Those who follow Bhagavad Dharma, they don't defy Varnashram Dharma. In general, you got the point. See, Bhagavad Dharma, Prabhupada, many times Prabhupada says Krishna consciousness means Vairagya Vidya, you know, the knowledge and detachment. But knowledge and detachment doesn't mean alone, it's a part and parcel. Higher thing can include a lower thing, not the otherwise. Varnashram Dharma, to say Varnashram Dharma means Varnashram Dharma is Bhagavad Dharma, that is not the right thing. Varnashram Dharma doesn't mean Bhagavad Dharma actually, but Bhagavad Dharma means Varnashram Dharma. Because it's a subservient to it. So devotees who execute Varnashram Dharma, they don't violate this. A Vaishnava is a Brahmana, not otherwise. Got the point? So in that statement, there are many such statements about Krishna consciousness, Nishkam Karma Dharma. Nishkam Karma, right? Krishna consciousness is Nishkam Karma. But Nishkam Karma is performed by even Brahmavadis and, you know, other, they may not be pure devotees. But Krishna consciousness includes it. Krishna consciousness included. So there is a similar statement of Vaishnava is a Brahmana. But it's not a Brahmana is not a Vaishnava automatically. So it's a subservient or part and parcel. In that sense, Bhagavad Dharma means Varnashram Dharma. But it's not alone. If someone is just following Varnashram Dharma, doesn't mean actually. Right? So one should know that. Varnashram Dharma is there are many material considerations, but Bhagavad Dharma is beyond all material considerations. Okay, so we go to text 44. Nahi Bhagavan Aghatitam, Nahi Bhagavan Aghatitam,
nahi bhagavan na ghatitam vidam tvaddarshananam akhila papakshya yannam sakrishnava eknat yannam sakrish shavanat pukasho api vimuchyate samsarat.
My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeking you, not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your Lordship only once. Even chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from material contamination simply by seeing you?
So, the primary characteristic of the Bhagavad Dharma, actually, the Bhagavad Dharma begins by hearing and chanting the holy name of the Lord. That's the defining principle. Right? So, Yan Naam, here the chanting of the name of the Lord is glorified. Sakrishnavanat, right? Shavanat. Yan Naam Sakrishnavanat. So, even when one chants the holy name, one is purified, what to speak of directly seeing you? Right? There is a verse, Yan Naam Dheya Shavananu Kirtanad. Yat prahvanad yat smarnad api kuchit shaddyo api shaddya ashavanaya kalpate kutas puna kutapunaste bhagavannu darshanad. Right? Like that. So, Vishnu Thakur gives a beautiful purport. He says, just one name is sufficient for the destruction of sins and awarding liberation. What will then happen by many names? And just one time hearing is sufficient. What happens if one hears many times? Just by hearing the name, this happens. What will happen if one chants the name? Right? This happens for outcasts. What will happen for others? It delivers one from the material world, one then to speak of destroying all the sins. Right? So, Chaitukyetu Maharaj glorifies the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, right? Over here, because that's one of the main angas of Bhagavad Dharma. Right? Guru text 45. Ata Bhagavan Vayam Maduna. तुदा लोक परिमृष्टा शयामला सुरऋषिना यत् कथितम् तावकेन कथमन्यता भवति.
Therefore, my dear Lord, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and the results of material attachment and lusty desires, which always filled my mind and the core of my heart. Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narad Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have obtained your audience as a result of being trained by Narad Muni.
Okay, so he glorifies the devotees of the Lord and the pure devotees of the Lord. The dharma of the pure devotees of the Lord is Bhagavad Dharma, which is characterized by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And then he says, my Lord, I have become successful by following such pure devotees who practice only Bhagavad Dharma. Right? So he says, today I am able to see you, I have obtained this result by the mercy of Narada Muni, being trained by him. Prabhupada says, this is the process of the perfect way. One must take lessons from authorities like Narada, Vyas and Asita and follow their principles. Then one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead even with one's own eyes. One only needs training. Right? So it's Maharaj Chitraketu was in the same body actually. He became the ruler of the Vidyadharas and then obtained the in the self same body, Maharaj Chitraketu. Vidyatam Ananta Samsatam.
तव जगदात्मनो जनैर्हार्चितम् विज्ञापयम् परम गुरो कियद् इव सवितुर् इव खद्यते
O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you because you are the Super Soul. In the presence of the Sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence there is nothing for me to make known.
Okay, so he is telling my Lord, actually you know everything, how I was blind with the material enjoyment, how I was in the dark well of family life, and how Narada Muni delivered. He said, you know everything, I don't have to, you know, nothing is unknown, and I do not have to tell you all that. Right? But still the devotees informed the Lord to express their gratitude and prayer. But I think nothing is unknown to you. Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate.
Sakal Jagastiti Leodeshashe. Leodeshaya. Durvasitatma Gateye. Kuyogi Nam Bhida Paramhamsaya.
My dear Lord, you are the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the cosmic manifestation. But persons who are too materialistic, who always see separateness, do not have eyes with which to see you. They cannot understand your real position, and therefore they conclude that the cosmic manifestation is independent of your opulence. My Lord, you are the supreme pure, and you are full in six opulences. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Okay, so Prabhupada says this was described, atheistic men who see the cosmic manifestation without reference to God. There are so many people, they don't want to God being in there, right? Elaborate theories how this cosmic manifestation came, how everything works, without reference to God, right? They don't see any relation. They are ku yogi nam bhida. Bhida means they're seeing everything separate from you, right? They're seeing everything separate from you. And so people with such separate mentality, they are impure and they cannot approach you. Right? However, to see every situation or everything with reference to Krishna, in relation to Krishna, that is a pure vision. Right? So this separate mentality of there is actually impure, and thus they cannot approach you, who are supremely pure. Yam vaishvasanta manu vishvasija susanti. Yam chekitana manu chittaya uchakanti. Bhumandalam sarshapayati yasya murdni. Tasmai namo bhagavate astu sahasra murdne.
My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra and other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, that Supreme Personality who has thousands of hoods.
Okay, so further described, but actually there is nothing separate from you. No one functions separate from you. All the directors of this world, they only begin their activities. Yam vaishvasantam anu vishvasajashvasanti. When you begin, the endeavor, they can begin. When you perceive, they can perceive. When you see, they can see. Right? So everything is dependent upon you. That is being explained by. Therefore, I offer my obeisances. Tasmai namo bhagavate yastu sahasra murdane. O one with thousands of hoods.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
samsuto bhagavanevam anantastam abhashat vidyadharapatim pritas chitraketum gurudvaha.
Shukdeva Goswami continued, "The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit."
Okay, so the Lord Anantadev speaks to Maharaj Chitraketu in response to his prayers. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yannaradangiro Bhyamte Yahritam me anushasanam samsiddho sitaya rajan vidyaya darshanachame.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadev, replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narad and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect.
Right, so it's a very beautiful that, you know, even Maharaj Chitraketu, when he is now in front of the Lord, he remembers the mercy of Narad Muni, and the Lord also doesn't say that, you know, now I have bestowed my mercy upon you. Both of them say, yes, you know, you have attained this perfection by the mercy of my devotees. I have attained perfection and mercy of your devotees. You know, it's very, very significant. They still do not identify each other as direct recipient or direct giver of mercy. Lord doesn't say, no, okay, finally, I give my mercy to you. No, my devotees give my mercy to you. And he also says, I receive the mercy through your devotees. Right? So, therefore, as we discuss, you know, the person who connects us with Krishna, he remains eternally our master. Natamdas Thakur says to his spiritual master, you are Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. That is not in this world also. He says, even in this perfectional stage, you are my master. Right? So like that. So, Prabhupada says, the perfection of the life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. And that is, that happens by the association of such perfect persons, such as Narada and Angira and the members of their disciplic succession. 51. Aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhuta bhavana शब्द ब्रह्म परम ब्रह्म ममो भेशाश्वती तनु.
All living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibration like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and I am the supreme absolute truth. These two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material.
Okay, so Vishnu Thakur says that there are two type of objects, permanent and temporary. Right? So all objects, even their temporary or permanent, actually comes from Krishna. Aham vai sarva bhutani. In the first line, he speaks of the temporary objects. Sarva bhutani. Sarva bhutani refers to all physical objects that we see which are insentient, right? Which do not have insentient, Prabhupada, that means inert actually. They have no sentiments. Okay? So all the physical inert objects are referred to by Aham Vaya Sarva Bhutani, I manifest, and I am the cause of them. And all the living entities are also included in this verse under the temporary objects. And then permanent object is described Bhutatma Bhuta Bhavana Shabd Brahma Param Brahm Mobhe Shashvati Tanu. So this cosmic manifestation we know is temporary. Even the living entities are put in under the temporary objects because their conditional existence is actually temporary. Although living entities are eternal, but their conditional existence in this world is temporary. So it's categorized under the temporary objects or temporary manifestation. Okay? However, Bhutatma, Krishna says, permanent is Bhutatma. I am the Bhutatma means I am the soul of all the material existence or the soul of each living entity. Both are Bhutatma. The word Bhutatma refers to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And then Bhuta Bhavana. Bhuta Bhavana refers to the cause of manifestation of all living entities. That is the Karunodakshaya Vishnu. Right? So that is mentioned. Then Shabda Brahm Param Brahm. The scriptures are my form. Prabhupada comments upon that. The scriptures are also my form. And Param Brahma, Prabhupada translates Param Brahma as DD form. Vishnu Thakur says the Brahman feature of the Lord is also the Lord's impersonal form, kind of, you know. So like that. So all this, so the temporary objects and the permanent objects are given in this world. Actually, in order to define what is permanent, first the temporary objects are defined in that way. But what is, therefore, second paragraph, Prabhupada says, the essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu or substance. One is real and another is illusory or temporary. Right? So all the living entities, conditional existence and all the inert objects, they are temporary in this world. While the Lord is the permanent reality. Right? So the permanent reality is Vadanti Tata Tattva Vidhas Tattvam Jnanam Avyam. That verse is quoted. Okay, so we go to text 52. There is another here, you know, important, just small point, just pointed out in the purport itself, regarding the Shabda Brahma, the scriptures are the form of the Lord. How did the scripture emanated? Okay, the scriptures are said to be the breathing of the Supreme Lord, right? So to say that the scriptures emanated from the breathing of the Supreme Lord is actually not technically correct. Many times, sometimes we may put forth or sometimes we may... The scriptures are breathing of the Lord. When you say emanated, that means it came at some particular point of time. But to say the scriptures emanated from breathing of the Lord means putting that it came at certain point of time. No. The scripture are breathing of the Lord. The Lord is eternally breathing, therefore scriptures are eternal. It's not that the Lord breathing and then from his breathing emanated, you know. No. The scriptures are considered as breathing of the Lord and not emanated from the breathing of the Lord. It is Shabda Brahma. Text 52.
Loke vittam atmanam. Lokam chatmani santatam. Ubhayam cha maya vyaptam. Mai chaivo bhayam kritam.
In this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, the conditioned soul expands, thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand. But because they are my energies, they are both pervaded by me. As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects. And one should know that both of them rest in me.
Okay, so the jiva has taken the position of enjoyer and the world is situated as the object of enjoyment. Krishna says, I am the cause of both of them and both are situated within me. Right? So someone may say, okay, if you are everything, you know, then the devotees can meditate and all living entities are object of worship. Would that be fine? Since you say that you are... So the point, although sarva khalo idam brahman, although everything is brahman, being pervaded by him, being existing in him, but everything is not worshipable. Only the swarupa of the Lord is worshipable. The transformations, everything else comes from the transformation of the energies. They are not worshipable. Even different energies of the Lord are not equally worshipable actually. Primarily there are three energies of the Lord. Right? They describe there is the Maya Shakti, Tathas Shakti and then Antaranga Shakti. Right? External, internal and marginal. So to say that Lord's, all energies of the Lord are equally worshipable is a Mayavad conception. Only the Lord's internal energy is as worshipable as the Lord and not the Maya and Tathas Shakti. Although all three are his energies, but they are not as worshipable as the Lord. So only the Lord's internal energy is as worshipable as him. It comes from his Sarupa. So Tathas Shakti and the Maya Shakti, you cannot... When the living entity is connected with the Supreme Lord, then the living entity is worshipable, but is not as the Supreme. Is always subordinate. Right? So therefore one has to understand the position of various energies of the Lord and who is actually worshipable. Although sarva khalo idam brahman, because everything is a transformation of the energies of the Lord, but there is a grade within that energies. Right? You're getting the point? The theory Prabhupada says, the theory that the Lord energy is being expansion of the Lord are as good as the Lord is mistaken. They are non-different from the Lord, but they are not identical with the Lord. Last line of the purport if you see. The theory that the Lord's energy is being expansion of the Lord are as good as the Lord is mistaken. Okay? Although everything is you, but everything is not as worshipable. Everything is you in the sense of being you, coming from your energies. But your energies are not different from you but not identical with you. They are two separate things. So you alone are worshipable. Okay, 53, 54. Yatha susupta purusho विश्वं पश्यति चात्मनि आत्मानं एकदेशस्थं मन्यते स्वप्न उत्थिता एवं जागरणादीनि जीवस्थानानि चात्मना मायामात्राणि विज्ञाय तद्दृष्टारं परं स्मरेत्.
When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming and wakefulness, are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them.
Okay. So again, one should remember that Lord has various energies. His illusory energy or manifestation of illusory energy is not as worshipable of the Lord. But Lord's internal potency, internal energy is as worshipable as the Lord. So different energies are differently situated. So therefore, he's saying this, the whole cosmic manifestation and the conditioned soul entrapped here is all whether sleeping, dreaming or awake. All three are created by the illusory energy of the Lord, actually. So when a conditioned soul sleep, his wakeful condition is also actually like a condition of sleep only. In general, the living entity forgetfulness has been compared to like a sleep. When he actually sleeps, then he is actually sleeping within a sleep in one sense. Illusion with another illusion. Right? Because it's very clearly described that even when the living entity wakes in sleep, he imagines something. When he wakes up, he still imagines him to be the part of the nation, part of this family. It's like ignorance only. So all these conditions are due to the illusion. Right? But one should, beyond this illusion, important thing is, one should always try to remember the original Lord, who is forever situated, free from all illusion, and who is always free from, situated apart from this illusory material energy. Right? So one should remember him always. Right? So the point is that everyone is seeing a movie, kind of, you know, everyone in the theater seeing a movie. You know, it's all illusory, is it not? And as he goes out of it, he continues the illusory, you know, he continues to act in the illusory movie. In the illusion inside the theater or the illusion outside of the theater. You know, like people say, na, ke tum kabhi kabhi bhakto ko bolte rahe, to drama karo. Bole, drama to kar hi raha hoon. Mere life hi drama hai, you know. So whether drama inside a theater or drama outside, said, but one should always remember the supreme director of the drama. Then one will be able to come out of this. The supreme director is not part of this illusion. He's the supreme Lord. डायरेक्टर को याद रखो ये ड्रामा में, बस ये बात बताई गई है. डायरेक्टर को नहीं भूलना है. द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इज द डायरेक्टर.
येन प्रसुप्ता पुरुष स्वप्नम वेदात्मनस्तदा सुखम च निर्गुणम ब्रह्म तम आत्मानम वेहिमाम.
Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading Super Soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being.
Okay, so Vishnu Thakur says, know the Antaryami, the Super Soul, by whom the Jiva, like a sleeping person, knows his sleeping state. And in deep sleep state, knows happiness of the Lord with no objects. It should be clearly understood that it is Antaryami who daily dissolves the gunas during deep sleep by his mercy and give the jiva whose knowledge and bliss are covered by firm bondage of the gunas and experience of his nirguna happiness. Okay, so it's described that there is a glimpse of the Supreme Lord can be obtained, a glimpse of understanding how the jiva is existing and how the super soul is existing can be obtained in the deep sleep state. He said when one is dreaming, then there are impressions of the mind is still active. But in deep sleep, actually all the material faculties are at rest. But then who perceives that I was sleeping peacefully? When someone gets out of the sleep, a person says, ah, bahut acche se soya main, deep sleep. He said, kaise malum chala? Sab to so, you know, how do you know that? And someone says, you know, both means a person is refreshed, bahut nice, you know. The very nice feeling is described as a glimpse of Brahman happiness. A nice sleep, you know, for Nirguna Sukh, that given by the Lord. And who perceives that? Said that Atma only perceives, because all the material faculties are at rest in the deep sleep. So Atma perceives that Nirguna Sukh during the deep sleep state that is being described in this verse. Right? You go ahead.
Ubayam smaratapam sa prasvap pratibodhayo anveti vati richeta jnanam brahma tatparam.
If one's dreams during sleep are merely subject matters witnessed by the super soul, how can the living entity who is different from the super soul remember the activities of dreams? The experiences of one person cannot be understood by another. Therefore, the knower of the facts, the living entity who inquires into the incidents manifested in dreams and wakefulness, is different from the circumstantial activities. That knowing factor is Brahman. In other words, the quality of knowing belongs to the living entities and to the super soul, supreme soul. Thus, the living entity can also experience the activities of dreams and wakefulness. In both stages, the knower is unchanged, but is qualitatively one with the supreme Brahman.
So, it's being described that it's not that only super soul is perceiving. The living entity also perceives. He is also the perceiver, right? But he only perceives. Living entity, the supreme Lord is Brahman, but the living entity is also Brahman, but he is subordinate Brahman. But he is also perceiving. That point is being discussed over here. Right? Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says, that which is present during the deep sleep and waking state of the man who investigates those states is actually the jiva. Right? But however, superior to the jiva is the Brahman. So they both actually perceive both the states. Right? Otherwise, they will, I said, only if the super soul would be perceiving, then the soul would not experience that. Right? That is being described. Prabhupada says in the purport, because the living entity is Brahman in quality, he can remember the past activities in the dream and also know the present activities of wakefulness. So the power of perception is because the living entity is also Brahman in nature.
Yadetad vismritam pumso madbhavam bhinnam atmana tata samsara etasya deha deho mriter mriti.
When a living entity thinking himself different from me forgets his spiritual identity of qualitative oneness with me in eternity, knowledge and bliss, his material conditional life begins. In other words, instead of identifying his interest with mine, he becomes interested in his bodily expansions like his wife, children and material possessions. In this way, by the influence of his actions, one's body comes from another, and after one death, another death takes place.
Okay, so although the living entity is Brahman, but it is a warning given in this, that when the living entity who thinks that who forgets that Supreme Lord is superior, or he is not the same Brahman, he is the Parabrahman, he is not the same Brahman as Jiva. A person who forgets the difference between the Supreme Brahman and a subordinate Brahman and identifies himself with the one, identical in all respect, that person undergoes samsara. So it's important thing over here that there is both oneness and difference. If a living entity, for half the knowledge is dangerous. Okay, so if the living entity basically overemphasizes oneness, he becomes mayavadi, aparadi. If the living entity overemphasizes the difference, then he becomes a sense enjoyer. Because he says, well, we have nothing to do with Krishna. Wo kahan hai? Humko kya maloom? Hum to sab, we humko apna kaam karne do, you know, like that. So basically the point is that one has to have the complete perspective. One has to understand the right perspective, and there should be right emphasis on oneness and difference. That is also very important. You know, sometimes we give a wrong emphasis. So if you see, in conditional life, the difference is more emphasized. You know, when a person is trying to understand that actually the Supreme Lord is different. You know, he is the worshipable Lord. Right? So therefore, we study how the Lord is purely spiritual, and the nature of the material world is total opposite. Is Satchidananda Vigraha, the material world is Asachit, Anand, and you know, Niranand, Asat, Achit, and Niranand, all that. You know, we study a lot of difference to see that, to understand the Lord is completely spiritual. Right? So that has to be understood. But actually, if you see in liberated state, then the more emphasis is given on oneness. Why? Because in liberated state, when there is oneness, only then can one serve the Lord. Right? See, basically understand, it's very important. There is a difference between the Supreme Lord. Right? If there is no difference, only because there is difference can there be a relationship. Only if the two people are individual can there be a relationship form. Relationship means two people, right? So now because there is a difference and he is very supreme, we are subordinate, there is a relationship of a master and a servant. Right? So relationship can only exist when there is a difference. But actually if he is so supreme, he is so far beyond, how can you serve him? Wait. They are equal. There is oneness. So oneness is emphasized to facilitate one's service. You are in the same quality. You can serve him actually. So there is a difference and oneness. So both have to be understood. Overemphasis of one makes the Siddhanta, distorts the right conclusion. Right? So if you see, for the liberated souls in the spiritual world, there is more oneness. Like there is a statement in CC where Sridhama says to Krishna, Tumi kon bada jana, tumi yami sam. He said, Tum kon the bade aadmi ho? We are same. You know. So there, service is facilitated by oneness. So there is a very intimate service. So there is a more, the more emphasis on oneness. For conditioned soul, then the conditioned soul has no relationship with the Lord in one sense, you know. So therefore he said, look, the Lord is, it's different from you. He's not the same as any other master. He's very different. So the conditioned soul try to impose qualities of this world, but he's very much different from this. He has different qualities, different nature. His position is different. Right? So a lot of difference is understood so that we establish a relation. So because we have a lot of miserable experience in this world, you know, from relationship. But no, he is different. We will not have the same. but then service is facilitated by oneness. So both are required. In there has to be a right emphasis at the right stage also. Or right emphasis during the what we are actually discussing in that sense. You know, in the realm of oneness, pure service, there is more oneness, discussion of oneness of the Lord with the living entity. And oneness of interest, oneness of the nature, etc. Guru text 58. Labveha manushim yonim jnana vijnana sambhavam atmanam yona buddhet na kuchit shema mapnuyat.
A human being can attain perfection in life by self-realization through the Vedic literature and its practical application. This is possible especially for a human being born in India, the land of piety. A man who obtains birth in such a convenient position but does not understand his self is unable to achieve the highest perfection, even if he is exalted to life in the higher planetary systems.
Okay, so basically the Lord is saying once you try to understand one's real self, real identity through Vedic literature and its application, if one cannot understand self, atmanam yo na buddhet na kuchit shemam, he doesn't obtain any benefit of the human form of the life. Right? And Prabhupada quotes the verse Bharat Bhumi te haila manushya janmayar. 59. Smritvehayam pariklesham tatafala viparayam abhayam chapya nihayam sankalpa viramet kavihi.
Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from fruity activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruitive actions, for by such endeavors one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruitive results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires.
Okay, so very beautifully the Lord puts in over here, smitva heayam pariklesham tata phal viparyam. One should remember that whenever one has tried for fruitive activities, it has been pariklesham, great endeavor, and then phal viparyam, and the fruit has been opposite. Right? Remembering that, one should cease. Right? Sankalpad viramet kavihi. Sukhaya dukkha mokshaya kurvate dampati kriyaha tato nivrittir apraptir dukhasya cha sukhasya cha.
As husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways. But because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are a cause of great unhappiness.
So Lord give example of a family life. You know, husband and wife working together, but actually opposite happens. Evam viparayam buddhva. Nam vigya bhima, ninam vigya bhima ninam, atmanashyagatim sukshmam, sthantraya vilakshanam, nishtashrutabhir matrabhir, nirmukta svena tejasa, jnana vigyana santrapto, madbhakta purusho bhavet.
One should understand that the activities of persons who are proud of their material experience bring only results contradictory to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping and deeply sleeping. One should further understand that the spirit soul, although very difficult for the materialist to perceive, is above all these conditions, and by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruitive results in the present life and then in the next. Thus, becoming experienced in transcendental knowledge, one should become my devotee.
Okay. So in this way, the Lord is prescribing actually the Jnana Mark, the Vimarshanam, that one should understand and one how the things work in this world, and gradually one should become a devotee in this way, understanding the nature of the falsity, right, of the fruitive activities and the falsity of desire to enjoy in this world. One should try to become my devotee. One should become experienced in transcendental knowledge. And so the Jnana Mark has been described by the Lord.
Etavan eva manujair
yog na punya buddhi bhi
swartha sarvatmana geyo
yat paratmaik darshanam.
Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity, who are one in quality in their relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this.
Okay, go to text 64. Tvam eta shaddaya rajan apramatto vacho mama Jnana Vijnana Sampanno Dharyannashu Siddhyasi.
O King, if you accept this conclusion of mine, being unattached to material enjoyment, adhering to me with great faith, and thus becoming proficient and fully aware of knowledge and its practical application in life, you will achieve the highest perfection by attaining me.
Shishuka Uvacha Ashvasya Bhagavanitham Chitraketum Jagadguru Pashyatastasya Vishvatma Tatushantarada Dehari.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, after thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Supreme Soul, Sankarsana, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on.
Okay, so the Lord instructed him. So Chitraketu Maharaj had this vision of the Lord. And the Lord, after instructing him, he disappeared from that place. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow and we'll complete tomorrow the last chapter in this series of Vitrasura and Chitraketu Maharaj. Jai Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.